You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We're back. Number five.
Salute.
Screwed up the other day. We forgot to talk about one of the most important things we had down here at the shop.
I see.
Yeah, so somehow we managed, after all of our planning and all of our discussions around podcasts for with turkey hunting, we somehow managed to forget all about Lee.
Yeah, Lee Chudoff here at Ram. It's one of the more exciting things we do down here. The Winter League Shoot-Off is probably my favorite thing we do down here. I mean, it's become, I think, also the archers a little bit too, but we wanted to recap a little bit about the Winter League and how it ended, and you know, basically what the winter season was like. I mean, I would say, and it is my opinion only, that if you shoot around here and you're taking yourself a little seriously and you're not shooting down here. I mean, I think we are acquiring the areas, most of the area right around here, right around where the shop is. We're getting all the best shooters. I mean, you've seen our board. A lot of guys are coming in from some other places where they may be at the top, and they're not even cracking the top 10 down here.
Yeah.
And that's a credit to just the shooters we have. I mean, we got kids coming in from Alfred State. We got guys coming from as far as Williamsport, and not to mention that just the guys in the shop, like you and Steve and Matt, I mean, you guys have just gotten so good, that really, you know, I enjoy putting scores up every week just to see how good everybody's shooting. I mean, and it's not just the shooters in the top. I mean, I've watched a lot of these shooters, improve their scores by 20 or 30 plus points in the last seven or seasons or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it has drastically improved across all three brackets that you run, right? Red, blue, and black.
Yeah, I mean, and you don't have to be some kind of heavy hammer to have fun down here. I mean, the way we do it, I would think anybody who's been down here, even on nights when all the guys that shoot in the black are down here shooting, knows that there ain't a single one of them taking this thing too seriously, right? Some guys get a little feisty some weeks when they're not shooting great, but that's to be expected. I mean, it is still a game, and they got a lot of vested time and stuff into it. So I do understand when things get off the rails a little bit, but I mean, for the most part, we're just down here having fun. But what we wanted to do during the last podcast, which we did not have time to do, which we will just touch bases a little bit here, is kind of recap the shoot-off and let everybody know how things kind of played out, right? So we started in the red. And for those of you who aren't familiar, the red would be archers that are averaging somewhere between like 430, I think our highest scoring red archer was a 435 average, and our lowest average was probably right around 400.
Yeah, so what, like 20 to 50 down?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, the guy that had the low average, I think he was actually shooting above 400 there for the last few weeks. I think he just ran into a couple bad weeks there. I mean,
yeah.
We had a kid in that group in the red, Zach, who just started shooting a bow this year or like last year during hunting season, but never did anything competitively ever. started out real rough, kind of lean. I think he shot like a 320 something the first week. But end of the year, after talking to everybody and see where everybody's shooting, ended up with a full rig and whatever. And he was scoring in the low fours, like 410, 412, yeah. Which, you know, he brought his score up almost 100 points. And he was the one seed in that red at the end of the day. So you don't have to be scoring some kind of crazy points to end up winning a bunch of games.
No, and I would argue, right, like, he enjoyed himself, right? He was in here tonight, and he's definitely bit by the bug, right? He's in here, and he's buying, you know, lenses and a movable sight and all of these kinds of things, right? Like, he enjoyed
it. Yeah, no, I think he had fun. I think he had fun down here hanging out. I mean, during the shoot-off, I think he felt probably a little of the pressure. I talked to him about 20 minutes into the next bracket or the next color, and his hand was still shaking from the entire thing, but he still walked away with some money. Mm-hmm. He took second place. He ended up losing to one of the shop favorites, Mr. Toby Baker.
Yep.
Toby shoots down here as much as he can. He splits time between us and shooting with his brother mm-hmm. and a bunch of our other buddies up at Steuben. This year we were lucky enough to be on his list. He was, you know, the time he had set out for league, we were able to get on his schedule, and he shot down here. I like having Toby down here because I think out of all the guys down here that shoot, I think Toby has the best attitude towards things. He's down here to just shoot his round. He doesn't take it too seriously. He takes it serious enough that he wants to be better at it, but he's just always trying to improve his game. He's not worried about your game or someone else's game.
No, but he absolutely, I don't want to word this, he cares about making sure everyone's enjoying it and helping them in every way they can. And he showed it, right? In the final match against Zach, right? A guy who had only been shooting for a couple of months, right? Zach was nervous as could be. And Toby's ready to cut an arrow loose, and he stopped, and he's like, hey, calm down. He's like, you're just shooting against me, right? Like, just relax, right? And, like, that takes a lot for somebody to step aside with a 1v1 match and talk to your opponent and be like, hey, calm down, right? Because he cares.
Toby was basically coaching that kid to beat him, essentially, is what he was doing, right? Toby is the kind of guy who, seeing that kid was trying to figure it out, was telling him to relax, telling him to make good shots.
Yeah.
Toby would have been just as happy to have won or to have lost to that kid. Either way, Toby was down here to shoot his bow and have fun hanging out with everybody. And you know, like for me, I was happy to see Toby win. I was, when the board went up, I thought, boy, I'd like to see Toby run the table. And he did. He ended up beating four or five matches, I think he had. He was the
four or five. I think to win it was his fifth match. And that didn't surprise me, right? Because Toby is, he shoots down here on Wednesday nights when I would classify that as like the heavy hitter nights, right? Where it's majority of the people that are in the black or the top bracket, right? And he puts up some good scores.
He shoots good. He shoots well. And he is also like one of our only quote unquote like true hunting class style archers.
This is true.
So he's putting up really good numbers with fixed pins, short bars. I think it's just him and Tedesco are the only two that are running
skinny arrows. Or is he not running
skinny? No, he's running, he's got X cutters, I think, is what he's shooting. He's running either some of Jeremy's old arrows or some of Matt's old arrows. I think they're probably X cutters. But his setup is still just a hunter setup. I mean, he's running fixed pins, short bars.
No mag.
No magnification. So to see him come down here, and every week he's like a steady 435.
Yeah.
Every single week. I mean, you can pencil him in for that every week. It's pretty impressive. So he ended up winning the red. I was pretty excited about that. I was glad to see him do that. And then we moved on to the blue bracket where we did more of a bracket style. We shot from 10 to 5, then 5 up is what we did there, right? So I don't think there was any major upsets in the first round of eliminations?
In the blue, I don't believe so. I think things went as expected.
Yeah.
To the best of our ability.
Yeah.
Now, for the people listening to this, right? So, like, for the blue, we're talking about people that are 430s to...
I think the low average in the blue was a 436. And if I'm not and it went from a 436 to a 444. And the majority of those archers were in the 440s. I think the only two, there might have been two or three that were not out of those 10. I think everybody else were in the 40s. I think there was one new guy, Dave, was like a 435 or 436. I think there was two other shooters that averaged maybe two or three that were like high 430s, 39, 38, something like that. But everybody in that black, now you're getting into a group of 10 shooters where all the averages are separated by
decimals.
I mean, these guys are separated by 4 or 5 points. So it really is kind of anybody's game. And that's kind of what you and I had talked about. I really thought anybody in the blue could have won.
Honestly, my favorite going into the blue, you and I had talked about it that day, right? I thought it was Brady's bracket to lose, Brady Hopkins.
Yeah.
Only because, right, he lived in the black all last year.
He was in the black for half the season this year, maybe a little bit more.
So, I mean, he was a kid that was posting scores that arguably could have been top 10 of the entire league. And just the way the cards fell, right, he didn't end up there. So when it came down to it, I would have bet that he would have probably finished in the top two. But, you know, it goes to your point that it's anybody's game in that blue. I mean, they're only separated by a couple points.
The blue is tough, and Brady, I would think, on paper was probably – he shot the best throughout the season.
Yeah.
I was thinking more like maybe, I was looking at the history of the board and thought, you know, Chad had won down here once or twice in that blue.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of, tournament experience. I mean, I would say he's the most, him or Dale.
Yeah, they are. You're
right. You know what I mean? Like, but they didn't finish. I mean, they all finished kind of like Brady was finishing. I mean, they both finished a year strong. They were pushing to get into the black, but yeah, I don't really know. I mean, the story of the blue and really was the story of the black was Jim, right? Yeah. Jim won the blue. Jim beat Haley. Haley, who every year shot down here, has brought her average up tremendously. She was the one seed. She kicked a lot of the boys' teeth in all year long. She had a pile of wins, and she was right around a 440 average. And she shot that about every single week. But she finishes the one seed. And Jim, I thought, was one of the stories of the league. I mean, last year he was a blue shooter. And this year, I don't care what you boys tried week after week, you could not get him out of the black for the longest time. Steady Eddie every week, 44, 44. He didn't top out. Like, he didn't have that one big number that kept him up at the top, but every week he was a 44, a 45, a 43, a 44, which is tough. And he just kind of got squeezed out at the end by some of the guys who were able to just put up that one big score at the end and get them into the black. But I thought Jim shot awesome all year. I mean, I thought it was kind of funny because I felt like he was infuriating the living hell out of some of the guys in the black just because he was up there for so long.
Yeah.
And it was so hard to kind of, guys who were used to living in the black weren't up there as much as he was.
Well, and I think there was also the aspect, right, because you run a handicap.
Yeah.
That because Jim was so consistent with shooting 43s and 44s versus never putting up, like, the big scores like some of the other guys in the black were, you had guys that were, you know, they were giving Jim 4 or 5 points every week. And, you know, I understand that evens it out, right? But it was like, but you know Jim's going to shoot a 43, 44. But then you give him 5 points, and now that's a That's a 48-49.
And he, you know, it's funny because he couldn't turn those scores into wins.
Nope, but he
left the black. I mean, until the very end. I mean, at the very end, he just ran out of gas. And I don't even think he really ran out of gas as much as I think he's still in it with a 44 average.
No, he did have one bad week in the last 4 weeks that did hurt him. But then to your point, there was also a couple of like three or four guys that consistently live in the black that put up some big scores that like solidified.
Got him back in, right?
I mean, I know I'm one of them, right? Like one of my last few scores was like a 448 or a 449, and that guaranteed me in.
Yep.
And Mosier put up a good couple of last weeks.
He put up a good score at the last week. I mean, but I thought Jim shot really well all year, and I felt like he deserved that win in the blue just as much as anybody. I mean,
I would agree. He did. He shot very well. He shot way better than I've seen in the last couple of years, and that's, you know, it's a testament to him.
His score he's inched up. I don't think he's made like a big jump in average, but he was like a 433, and then he went to a 36.
Yeah.
Then he went to like a 39 or a 40 last year. I think he was somewhere.
I feel like he's narrowed his windows.
Right? Well, yeah, I mean, like he's just figuring out. And the more I talk to him, the more I feel like I think he likes the game of it.
Yeah.
Like, so he wants to shoot good because he wants to. He has goals, and I think his goal this year, I think he might have said it, was just to be in the black. I think he wanted to be in the black for like 1 week, or just shoot a score to be in there for a couple of weeks, right? And Christ, he was up there for, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10 out of 12. He just dipped off at the end, but he ended up winning the blue against Haley, and Haley shot great all year.
As always.
As always, I mean, she is, again, steady.
Hey, listen. She's another person we talk about. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, her and Jim next year, you better be watching out if you're in the black.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, and you can always tell, like, Haley always got that sly grin on her face when she's, oh, how'd you shoot? Oh, I don't know, not great. 43 or 42 or whatever, right? But, you know, it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch the improvement in some of them shooters there in the blue.
And it is, yeah, it's improvement on their side, but then it also, right, like, for me, it pushes me in the black, right? Like, you can't this was your highest cut for the black, right?
It was exactly the same as it was last year.
Which was the highest last year. It was a
44-3, which is the highest it's ever been.
Yeah.
I just think there were so many people right around the cut. Like, last year, the cut was 44-3. But there was basically
one or two
people shooting at the cup. This year we had like six people shooting at the cup.
Yeah, I was going to say you had five people.
So, I mean, like coming down to the end, no one had any idea who may end up in the black.
No, you had five people there that in week 12 were chomping, like I said, decimal places away from black or blue.
Yeah.
Where last year we were talking one or two. And then I would argue next year, like, all jokes aside, you better be confidently shooting 46s or higher if you want to guarantee a spot.
I would think. I mean, if everybody comes back and everybody's still shooting the way they're shooting, and even if we gain some people, we had some subs fill in this year that were really good subs. We had some guys come in here at the end. Doug was like a 440s type shooter.
Yeah. Yep.
This new guy, Dave, he's kind of new to leagues. He came in here kind of shooting like a hunter hybrid style setup, and he just walked out here with a new scope and stuff. I mean, that dude might be a dude that's going to be shooting in the 40s next year. So,
and he was mid to high 30s anyway.
Yeah, I mean, right? He was figuring it out. So I think you're right. I mean, it's real fun for me just because I'm kind of a stats moron and I just love to watch all the numbers up on the board. And I like seeing the kind of quality shooters that we can get down here. I mean, I like watching everybody kind of bang heads and, you know, really kind of, you know, where the iron sharpens iron kind of deal.
Absolutely.
I mean, and that's what you get in the black. So final shoot up of the day or of the weekend was the black. And that's where all the heavy hammers lie. We were missing one because Eli was not able to make it back from the Arizona Cup in time, even though he did come to the party at the end, but we were missing Eli. This was Eli's first year down here. You know, and so he was just another one of these guys adding to the 450 wall every other week. I don't know. I mean, he had a really good season this year. I don't know. One of the all-time best scoring seasons we've had down here. I don't know if it was good as Matt's from a couple years ago. Matt just was laying down scores like at a record pace a couple years back. But, I mean, the guys we have in the black are exceptional, high-end, amateur-type, you know, super high 450-round shooters, like borderline cut-line shooters in Lancaster. They're just shooting really high rounds, and that's why everybody hangs out and eats pasta till they're blue in the face is to watch the black shoot off. And I don't think during any of those bracket rounds there were any rounds that went in a direction that I didn't think they were going to go.
No, I don't believe so. It, again, though, right? It's tough to call them because it's really, it's
a crap shoot. I mean, right? What I thought from the beginning was Matt's sitting there at one.
Yeah.
Matt did what he does most seasons, and Matt came in as the one seed, and I thought, boy, he's a real hot-looking one seed. I mean, Matt is a tough one seed to out because if he makes it through the first round of brackets and he's sitting there in the shoot-up at the one, I mean, I've seen him win more than he doesn't. Right,
it's 12 arrows, right? I would argue that Matt's 12 arrows are probably one of the best.
Or as good as any. I mean, I've seen him hit 12s when he has to, multiple 12s, whatever. Yeah. So, I don't think so. We didn't have a full 10 for that bracket, so we went 8.
Well, because Steve was out too, so we actually went to 8.
Steve went to Florida. He vacationed. Steve is without a doubt my longest tenured Ram archery league shooter. I don't think he's ever missed the league shoot off. This is probably his first one in 10 or 12 years. And he was shooting for pride, that last week of the season. Because he had spent some time in the blue. And I went back and looked, and he has never finished in anything but the black and any time he's ever been down here.
Oh, that's good.
And he ended up, squirreling his way back up into the black, but knowing he wasn't going to be here, and Eli at the last minute kind of got hitched up from Arizona Cup, so we did an 8-man bracket, so we went from 8 to 4, and then 4 up, and I don't think there were any upsets in those matches. Everybody basically rolled through the way I thought they would. Shoot,
there was some close ones, right? Like, for instance, Caleb and I's matchup was 1 point.
Yeah, Caleb got you by a point.
Yep.
Which
came down to the last three arrows, which was the funniest thing, because Brady was, I went into that last three arrows down by three, and I told Brady that, and he just shook his head, right? He was like, yep, you're cooked, right? And I looked at him and I go, yep. And part of me kind of thinks that might have helped me, because I went into those three going, stuff him in the middle, like shoot a 33 and make him beat me. And he shot whatever. He shot 2 points less than me and got me by one.
Yeah, I mean, that was close, I think.
And then he went on to win it, so I, whatever.
Alsnack had a tight match against Adam, or it was tight for a little bit and kind of Adam.
I didn't pay attention to how the matchups went, to be honest.
Adam might have fell off.
Brandon. I think Brandon had his match relatively smooth.
Brandon beat Chris pretty handily. Chris,
which shocked me, because Chris was hitting a groove that I thought was going to make a run.
Well, Chris is kind of scary because he's like a dude who can come in here and shoot a 49 with his eyes closed, and he had been shooting a bunch of really high scores there at the end. Yeah. I don't know what happened. It's funny because he was talking about who turned the wind on. I remember watching his target down there, and his first 6 arrows in his first 12 were all 9 o'clock 10s, and you could have went down and just – there were one hole in each target. And I don't know why, because he had just been shooting the day before, and he was inside out. But Brandon ended up beating him. Caleb ended up beating you. Yep. Matt's round was against
Sackett.
Jake Sackett. Thought that would have been a little tighter than what it was, but
I didn't know how that finished. I think Matt had him at the halfway point and then just kind of finished.
I thought it was closer. I thought maybe it was Matt by one or two. That was a pretty good match.
Then there was who else?
And then, let's see, Brandon and Chris. It was Brandon and Chris, Jake and Adam. And then you and Caleb and Matt and Jake. That was the four matches.
Yeah.
And it ended up being Matt, Caleb, Jake Houseneck, and
Brandon.
Jake Houseneck beat Brandon.
That was a close match.
That was close.
That came down to the last arrow.
It did. And then Caleb beat Jake, and that wasn't particularly close. I think, once you go for those 12s,
Jake needed to, right? Caleb started, after he beat me, I feel like Caleb, his nerves, and like he had hit a groove where things had started clicking, right? And he was really starting to roll.
Yeah, I mean, and when you go for a 12 against someone that shoots like Caleb and you miss,
you're over.
Right? So, I mean, like, I like the idea of 12s, but I hate the.
It makes
everything kind of anti-dramatic, right? Because if you think you got to go for a 12 in the second end mm-hmm. and you miss it, you're done. You might as well.
You got six arrows of waste.
Yeah, you might as well just call the match, right?
No,
so Caleb ended up beating Jake, and then Caleb had to shoot Matt. Like we were talking about earlier, I mean, Matt is as tough as one seed as you can get, but Caleb shot really strong in that end. It did not give. Well, it was kind of like I thought Matt had left it open for Caleb in the first six arrows where Matt would shoot a 10 and Caleb would match him with a 10.
Yeah, there was a lot in the first six arrows. It was like XX10 or X10-10, right? It wasn't the typical slam it down, throw three X's
down.
So there
were a few times in the beginning where I thought, man, Caleb's really got an opportunity to close out Matt, and it just didn't happen. And then in the third end, Matt dip banged for a 9 or something.
I think it was the last time.
It might have been.
They were.
But Caleb was shooting strong, right? He beat Matt, and that's not easy to do, right? And he should have been.
No, and he did. He shot great that day.
Caleb shot great down the stretch.
Well, once he got rid of the title.
Well, that's true. That's
the funniest part. He
didn't start the league with the title, but he got rid of that title after Lancaster, and then after that,
he put the TRX back together, and man, he really started hitting the stretch.
He is a big, strong kid, right? And he can hold that bow real steady. I mean, he shoots a really good on-command release, and he got on a stretcher on there towards the end where – did he shoot a 450? He shot a 450 here at the end.
He shot a pile of 49s.
A league. He shot a 450. I got it. Yeah, so he was able to hang a target up on the wall this year. And he shot super strong towards the end. And again, yeah, I mean, he was shooting 48s, 49s, and a 50 to come, to finish the league out. I don't know how he can't be one of the favorites at the end to win.
Well, and realistically, right, like coming down to the last three or four weeks, right, him and I were talking about it. I said, between you, Matt, and Eli, you guys are the favorites to post 450s, right? And he was kind of skeptical of it. And he's like, Matt and Eli are definitely more favorites. And I was like, listen, you've been putting up some big scores. And you were consistently putting them up, right? It's not like you were hitting 49s out of the blue.
Yeah, right? I mean, Matt.
So he started hitting, I feel like, another level of competing with Matt and Eli on the aspect of consistency.
Yeah, well, and he shot good at our Vegas in the day. I mean, he was shooting really good the last month of the year, or last month of the season, the indoor season.
And I know he put a lot of, practice in, right? He put a lot of work in. He was practicing over at, Deegan's and all those kind of guys. Doesn't surprise me.
No, he put in the work and he deserved the win, and it was pretty exciting to see him win. Matt's our boy down here, but he don't need to win every damn thing. It's good to see other people.
No, and
I mean, honestly, it's not like, look, I mean, he had to beat Matt. He had to beat Matt, and that is a big deal down here to beat Matt.
It is. Right? And Matt Schaack.
There's a lot of guys who can't say that they ever beat Matt.
Hey, listen, I know he's probably listening to this eventually, but I know Eli's not one of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, for as good as Eli shot, I mean, the running gag is that out of everybody down here, he's never beat Matt. He split him, tied him, but he's never come against, he's never beat him, he's never tipped the scales in his direction.
Listen, Eli can beat a lot of people, and we've seen him go on a heck of a run, but if your name's Matt Barry, he can't beat you.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and I thought probably across the board, this is probably the strongest top 10 we've ever had. So the low average was probably the same as it was last year, but then the next average up, I think, was higher than we've ever had. Right? So, I mean, you're talking about going from a 44 at the bottom to then like 46 and a half or 47s.
Yeah, you're right. And then that was another thing, right? So you're talking about 8 guys that were between a 47 and a 49.
Yeah, you're not going to find that in a lot of places.
No. And yeah. And the funny thing is, right, is like to come to your league and to sit here as like the 7 seed, you're averaging a 47 or a 48, and then you go to any other shop within a 50-mile radius, you are the number 1 seed.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
without a doubt.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that's crazy.
Yeah. And that's, I think, why we get guys that come from a little ways off, because they know that they can shoot against guys that shoot like that. That's just good. I mean, all that stuff is good preparation for the wintertime stuff, but it also is good to sharpen your skills for when we get ready to go outside, which is what we're trying to get ready to do here soon. But
yeah, I was going to say, we're there. I built my arrows tonight, and we are all mentally clocked out from the indoor game.
Yeah, no, I'm out.
I mean, we just talked to Brady Myers and Olivia Dean tonight about it, right? And it's like, we would love to partake in their activities, but...
Yeah, they're going to get, they're starting an indoor league at,
Up in Arms.
They're going to be doing it at one of our sponsors at Up in Arms. And, if you're not fried out from indoor season, I recommend you go down there and shoot. However, my brain is scrambled eggs from this, from now looking at paper. I'm ready to get outside and do some shooting at some foam. So that's what I think we're going to be focusing on now. We've got our summer league here started at RAM, and we got all of our targets from the ASA. So RBD is like
3 weeks out, right?
3 weeks, a month away, basically.
Speaking of sponsors, right? So we were able to lock another one down today. We got Neil's back.
Neil's is back. Neil's Archery and Crossbow.
Down in what? Not Binghamton.
Vestal, Endicott area down there. Yep. They've been sponsors of ours for a long time, and I'm glad to get them back on board. They're normally the shop that hosts our indoor finale during the winter, which is something we're going to definitely redo this coming winter or winter of 2026. We'll talk about that more in time to come, but
yeah, I mean, as you definitely check them out, right? Because we were just talking about this tonight. They have capability to shoot 50 yards indoors. So
yeah,
With the crappy weather and the wind and stuff like that, like if you're looking to build a sight tape, like definitely go check these guys out.
Yeah, because I think they can definitely get 50 corner to corner. They can do 45 straight out.
Right.
Which
I'd argue is probably enough to get a
sight tape. Oh yeah, right. I mean they got a nice indoor facility down there. I can't wait to get some of our stuff back down there. But for now, I just can't wait to get outside. We've got First Light coming up, IBO coming up. I don't think we're going to be doing anything else outdoors between now and then, but we would like to get these pods out on maybe a weekly or bi-weekly kind of spacing. So we'll try to get them out to you as quickly as we can when we get more stuff going on.
And for those that are listening, right, like feel free to reach out to the RAM Archery page or RBD page, right? Like let us know, what do you guys want to listen to? What do you want to hear from us? Like we're open to suggestions.
Where are you shooting? What shoots are going on? I mean, I try to keep my ear to the ground about everything. I mean, I know a bunch of shoots are coming up. that's not a lot of stuff we can get to. I know the ASA.
I might try to get to Avon in the end of April.
Avon's got one. Bear Lake's got one coming up.
Yep.
They're at the beginning of May. Avon, it's the end of May. We may be hitting some of them. And as we hit some shoots, again, the whole thing about this podcast is to let people know about local stuff.
Yep.
Local archery, local shops, local tournaments. So as we kind of hit them all, we'll let you know what we think. All right, man. It was a good one.
Have a good one. Thanks, everyone.